Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
If being happy is wrong, I don't want to be right. We're happy around here. We're not just happy. We got a reason to be. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 47. It says, "The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, the rock, my Savior." Is he the rock? The rock is not a wrestler, he's not a movie star. God is our rock. Now, he's not literally a rock. We don't worship some rock. But he's like a rock. He has the properties of a rock. He's solid. He's consistent. He's sure. He's the rock. There was a feminist, a prominent feminist, named Karen DeCrow. And when she was done burning her bras and all that, she married a man, and she made meatloaf a lot, and she would cut the ends off of the meatloaf every time. And her husband asked her, "Why do you cut the ends off of the meatloaf? That's weird, I've never seen that before." And she said, "You know, I don't know why I do it. That's what my mom always did." So they went to the mom and asked her, "Why do you cut the ends off the meatloaf?" She said, "Boy, that's a good question. I don't really know why I cut the ends off the meatloaf. That's what my mom always did." So they asked the grandma, "Why did you cut the ends off the meatloaf?" And she said, "Well, back in those times, the ovens were small. I couldn't fit the meatloaf in, so I cut the ends off to get it in there." Traditions. Traditions. They are consistent for a while, but after a time, they change. That's the way it is. Traditions, systems made by man, they're consistent for a while, but then they change. We have school systems. Now, they're different from times past when they were based on a grammar and logic system, one-room schoolhouse system. Now we have the Prussian-based models of education. And if we have more time, that will change. The things that are man-made, the systems that are man-made, governments, they change. We go from oligarchies to democratic republics. All of these things that are man-made will change in time because they are based on external factors. When we get new information, systems change. When we get new agendas, they change. If we have new needs and new demands are there, they change. All of these things change from the outside in. But God is like a rock because he does not change. And he is consistent, one, because he is forever. And two, because the consistency and the things that he has to give are not externally brought about, but they are internal. They are a reflection or a consequence of his character. I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't change. He's like a rock. He's consistent. When the disciples of John came to Jesus, and they had this question, they said, "Are you the one? Are you the one? Or should we look for another? And Jesus said something very interesting. He said this, go back and report to John everything you've seen and heard. Tell him what you've seen and heard. That the blind are receiving their sight, that the lame walk, that those who have leprosy are healed, that the deaf hear, the dead are brought back to life, and the poor have the good news preached to them. In other words, what he was saying is, I am consistent with what was said about me 1,000 years ago by the Old Testament prophets when they said, all those things, I'm doing them. In other words, that and me match. We're consistent. One of the my political persuasion has the majority of people who think like I do politically are atheists. So I get to talk to them a lot. And one of the things that they'll do if they find out you're a Christian is not so much try to convince you that God's not real, but that he's a big meanie. And he's not consistent with what he says he is. And the way that they do it is they take a few Bible stories to prove it. And probably their favorite one, the one that they've used the most on me, is Abraham, when God told Abraham, take your son and sacrifice him unto me on Mount Moriah. That is a tough one. Go sacrifice your only son to me on Mount Moriah. And the atheist will say, what kind of a God who claims to be a God of love or claims to be love itself would tell somebody, tell a parent to go sacrifice their child to him? And they would have a point that would be inconsistent if that was the end of the story. But that is not the end of the story. The end of the story is not God telling Abraham, go kill your son for me. The end of the story is not even a ram caught in a thicket, the animal used to replace Isaac on the altar. The end of that story, church, is Jesus on the cross. In other words, if we follow the story out all the way to its end, we find that the God who is love, who told Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, it will never change, it's consistent. That God, and the end of that story of Jesus providing himself for our salvation, they match. They're consistent. And you will never, ever find that if you follow the whole thing to its end, you will never find a contradiction, you will never find an inconsistency in his character. Everything that is of God is consistent because it's a reflection of its maker. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. We don't have to think about it. It's consistent. The dew on the ground in the morning, like his mercy, it's consistent. It's there every day. It's faithful. It's a reflection of him. When God made two covenants, the first one being the law, I have to make up my mind whether I want to stand there or be out here. I'm inconsistent here. But when God made those two covenants, he made the law. That was the first covenant. Now, the law is consistent. When people say, we're going to make a new law, that's not true because you can't make a law. No man, no woman can make a law. They can't write something on a piece of paper and it's a law. It might be a rule. It might be a preferable suggestion. It might be a statute, it might be an ordinance, but it's not a law, though, because laws simply are. They simply exist. If Congress decided that they're not too crazy about the law of aerodynamics, and they said, tomorrow we're going to repeal the law of aerodynamics, the law of aerodynamics would still be here after it was repealed because it doesn't care what they say or do. It's simply there. So, yeah, what I'm saying is that we got a crazy idea of what things are. So, there's no such thing as law enforcement, for example, because laws that are true laws, real laws made by God, don't need enforcement because they will enforce themselves. In other words, if you jump off a tall building, the law of gravity will enforce itself because it's a real law. It doesn't need a police officer there to enforce it and write a ticket to the one who jumped off. It will enforce itself. There is no give in the law. There's no wiggle room. So what I'm saying is that if we understood what the first covenant was, and if we understood what the law really meant and how consistent it is and what it really is, there would be a greater understanding of Jesus, and there would be more faith in him, I'll put it that way. Because when we think about law, we think about what we call laws, like, you know, breaking the speeding limit or something like that, armed robbery maybe or something like that. And so we think that God's law works the same way as the fake laws that we call laws. I'm not saying they're not right. I'm just saying they're not laws, okay? So we think that God somehow is like our justice system and our law system, and the law that God set up, the first covenant, is kind of like that. And there's kind of this, there's parole, there's probation, you can have an attorney and you can plead down, or there's first degree, second degree, third degree. There is none of that. None of that. There's premeditation. No, there's none of that. Not where the penalty is concerned. Not where the sentence is concerned. Not how the law acts. The only tool in the law's toolbox is a 20-pound sledge, and it treats every offense the same. There's no minor offense. There's no major offense. There's just an offense. That's why James said, if you break one point of the law, it's like you broke them all, because he was talking about the sentence. The sentencing part of breaking the law, it's all the same. Because the law is like its maker, it's consistent. There's no change. If you jump off a tall building and you meant to do it, it was premeditated, or if you didn't mean to do it, but you were a victim and you were pushed off, the law of gravity does not care. The end will be the same. Now, with that understanding that the law is consistent, it does not change. Let me tell you about my background a little bit. And I've told you before, but you know, I never know who knows and who doesn't. So anyway, where I grew up and the theology I believed was fundamentally the same as the Baptists and the Methodists and all that. They just changed in the details. But fundamentally, it was the same. And one of the things that they believed in was original sin. And original sin, which meant you were guilty, and they believed that to be saved from that guilty sentence, you had to do three things. You had to repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Ghost, because on the day of Pentecost, Peter, when he was asked, what should we do, that's the answer he gave. Now, he said, repent and be baptized. He actually only said two things, not three. You know, it was repent and be baptized. That was one thing, actually. It wasn't repent, period, be baptized, period, receive the Holy Ghost. it was repent and be baptized. In other words, if someone was mean to their spouse, he would have said, repent and be nice. Or if they'd stolen some money, he would have said, repent and give the money back. It's the same thing. But I'm going off on a tangent here. So regardless of that, they thought he said three things. So the plan of salvation was those three things. And if you didn't do that, then you were guilty by the law, by the sentencing of the law, because the law is consistent. But there's a problem with that and a dilemma, and that is that if we believe in a God who loves us, and he made this law, then what about toddlers? What about infants who cannot do those three things? What do you do then? What about an infant who dies? Because now remember, now the law doesn't care. And if you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, the law is going to do what it does. The law doesn't have a brain, and it doesn't negotiate. It pays no respect to age. Again, if an infant is thrown off of a high building and an adult is thrown off a high building, the result is going to be the same because that's the character of the law. So anyway, so what do you do about that situation? This was something that a lot of people had questions about. It's not consistent with the God of love. Because I don't care how you slice it, an infant being damned is not okay. Inconsistent. Let me tell you something, church. If this thing and the God who inspired it and lived it and wrote it was not consistent, I would not be here. Because let me tell you something, it takes more than faith for me. I've got to have more than faith. It has to make sense. And if the God who says he loves me is going to act that way, a covenant that he implemented, then that's not a God I want to serve. I won't be here. Faith is not duct tape. It's not something you put on an irrational, inconsistent doctrine and it makes it all right. We don't just say, this doesn't make sense to me. It's illogical on its face. It's inconsistent, but I have faith. No, that really isn't what, I have no interest in that. I'll just say that. None. Faith is not enough for me. So what do we do about that? What if a toddler dies or an infant dies and it's not their fault and they didn't get a chance to be baptized and receive? Enter Jesus. The rock. Because just as it's a law and absolute that the wages of sin is death, no matter what age and no matter how minor or major, the wages are the same. They're consistent. The wages of sin is death, but the second law, the gift of God is eternal life, and it is the second is greater than the first. The second is greater than the first. Enter the second Adam. And when you bring Jesus into the mix, and when he comes in and enters the room of our theology and the spaces in our mind, now it matches. Because he is the one who holds the toddler in his arms after they pass on. They are completely safe and completely saved because just as the old law was absolute and knew nothing but judgment and condemnation for any violation, so is the second absolute and pays no respect to age, ethnicity. That's why Paul said there is no male, no female, no Jew, nor Greek, no bond nor free, because the law, that law of Christ, that law of liberty is absolute. There's no negotiation. There's no wiggle room. It just is. It just is. I am absolute statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Consistent. Faithful. Let's talk about faith a little more in relation to this. I told you that faith is not enough for me. And faith is not this thing that's absent everything else, and it's just like this superhero thing that just comes in and makes it all right. No, faith is something that is compliant with these laws. So, in other words, if I jump off of this platform, I have complete faith that my feet are going to hit the floor down there. I have total faith. I don't have any doubt that that's not what's going to happen. You know why? Because I understand the law of gravity. And the understanding of the law of gravity gives me complete faith. I have no doubt that I'll stay suspended in air or that I'll continue to go up and hit my head on the ceiling. I know exactly what's going to happen. I have complete, mature faith where that is concerned because I understand the law. When the centurion came to Jesus, and he said to him, I'm really worried about my servant because he's been sick. And he's very sick, and I need you to heal him. And Jesus began to get up from where he was and go to his house. And this Roman officer said, No, it's cool. Stay where you are. You don't have to get up. I get it. I understand authority because I'm a man who has authority. I'm a man who's also under authority. And if those who are under authority, if I tell them to come, they come. If I send my word and tell them to go, they go. So it stands to reason then, it's just logical, Captain, that if my authority works that way, your authority will work the same way because authority is consistent. So if I tell someone to go and they go, if you tell this sickness over which you have authority to go, it concludes then that it will go. I get it. And Jesus, the Bible says, marveled at his faith and said, I have not seen, it's interesting he said seen because faith is something we're not supposed to be able to see, but anyway, I have not seen faith like this, no, not in all Israel. In other words, he really impressed Jesus with his faith. So what he was basically saying was, I don't understand because I have faith. I have faith because I understand. Faith followed understanding, not the other way around. I have faith because I have a reason to have faith. I don't just have faith alone, because if all I had was faith, I'd be getting ready for football right now. It's got to make sense. It's got to make sense to me. It's got to add up in my head. And God has to be consistent, and his theology has to be consistent. And when I say that faith is reliant upon understanding and is a part of it, it follows understanding, I mean it like this. If I say it like this, the verse we read, he's not a rock because I have faith. I have faith because he's a rock. He's a rock. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love will never change because it cannot change. It cannot. It is what it is. It can't be anything else. God's consistency comes out of his character. You know, a lot of how should I say this? A lot of people come into and feel the presence of God. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. But I am praying and hoping that our faith in this country and the church, not just in this country, but all across the planet, would get to a point where the understanding matched the faith, and then the faith would be complete. And there wouldn't be any more confusion, but just love, power, and a sound mind. He's real, he's alive, and he is forever the same. Forever the same. If you follow it out, if you follow any scenario out that God has his hand in, you're going to find that he is going to be true to his nature because he has to be. He is who he is. Amen. Will you stand today? He did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Laws have to be fulfilled. They have to be. And there wasn't another who could do it. And when he told John's disciples, go tell John, yeah, I am the one. He wasn't kidding. He was the only one. The Lamb. Let me tell you, I told you about this plan of salvation is thought by the old religion I came out of. But the plan of salvation, the way I think about it now in relation to what I told you is this. It's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That is the plan of salvation, and it will not fail because it cannot fail. Amen. It's consistent. Thank you, Jesus. Today I praise your name. Blessed be the rock of our salvation. You're faithful. You're true. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Because he has to be. Your love, your grace, your mercy, your righteousness, your justice is consistent and will never change. Thank you, Jesus. We can have boldness in the God of our salvation. And stand and see the salvation of our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. There's nothing else. I'll just go ahead and take the authority to tell you. Have a good week, everybody. God bless you in his name.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.